The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. And then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated him in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'Well, they will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Oh, wait just a moment. There's still a few more coming. Hurry, hurry. Just a little longer. It's hard to argue. There's a baby walking, so. Oh, and the baby's down. It's that slant that's kind of getting her. Sometimes gets to others, too. Well, good morning. Today, I want to talk about something that I know all of you know about. It's tears. How many people have cried at least 10 times in the past year? I have. You have? Yeah. Yeah. I bet you, if you think about it, most of us probably have. She's been crying today. Imagine that. The baby has been crying today. Wow. Well, tears are something that we do for a lot of different reasons. It's interesting because babies cry differently. That's how they talk. That's part of the thing. They have to tell you every single thing, and that's the only thing they know how to start with is that. But let's think about the reasons that we cry. I think the first one, if you fall down and hurt yourself, you skin your knee, sometimes might you cry? Yeah? So sometimes it's just that you hurt. Oh, careful. Careful. There's cement over there. So sometimes we cry because things just hurt. But sometimes nobody hits us, nothing touches us, and people cry. Can you think of a time where people cry for no reason besides babies? How about if somebody died? Do you ever see maybe some adult? Have you ever seen one of your parents crying and you wonder why they're crying? Sometimes they might be crying because somebody got hurt, maybe not with their body, but something emotionally, something that hurts beyond just an owie. And I want to tell you that those also show us love. And today I'm going to talk about how our tears can be rooted in love and that they really are connected to that. And I hope that you can ask your parents more about that. Find out a little bit more about the two different kinds of prayer. She's off to the races. That's okay. Okay, so let's pray together. Dear God, help us see love in every day. And help us to know that we are loved. Amen. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your seats. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, I want to talk about tears for a moment. First, I shared that story in the children's sermon. I don't know if that was perfect, but I wanted to share it there because I think it's a really good story, a really good message to talk with our children about in general, because there are different kind of tears. There's a story of a mother who was doing just that, telling her little boy about different types of tears. And she once explained to him all of those things. And you know how it is with children. You're not sure if they're catching it all, if they understand what you're saying or not in some of those moments. But another time, soon after that, the little boy came up to his mom and said to her, "Why are you crying, Mommy? I hope it's love." And I think that's a beautiful thing to think about, that we can look at that and say, are you hurting because of something that happened to you, your body, or are you hurting because of something else? And I love that a little child might say that. I don't know about you, I've been crying a lot this week. Monday, I hit the wall with all of this stuff hitting the world. And being a pastor, I have a couple resources that are very available to me. I sang a lament. They're available to you too, but I realized, what can I do? What can I do right now? And I knew there was not a whole lot I could do, so I sang. And I sang these words, and I'd like to share it with you. I'm going to sing it through. It repeats in itself. So I'll sing it through, including the repeat, and then I'd like you to join me on that. Depths of my soul, depths of my soul, I have been crying from the depths of my soul. Depths of my soul, depths of my soul, I have been crying, Lord, from the depths of my soul. Can you try joining me in that? Depths of my soul, depths of my soul, I have been crying from the depths of my soul. Depths of my soul, depths of my soul, I have been crying, Lord, from the depths of my soul. I share that because the beauty of laments are that they offer a unity in our pain. In laments, our emotions come out in all different ways, as tragic events actually usually share with us as well. The direction might be anger, might be sadness. All sorts of feelings are there. It does not always feel like it is love that is centering us. But whatever the feeling is, God says to us, direct it at me. Direct your feelings to me. Lament. Come to me because I love you and I can handle it. And I like that. Because in the midst of it, I don't know that I can. The depths of the feelings that we have from this tragedy are immense. I was just on Facebook this week looking at all of the ways that people that I know have been affected by these things. And of course, that does not include those that are very indirect, but even those that, even my Facebook friends, there's direct connections. One of my Facebook friends from Wisconsin rejoiced on Tuesday as he discovered that his cousins were fine. They were there. They were at the concert. He heard their harrowing story of running, of finding shelter, of getting to a safe place. And he had to admit that he had joy. He had a feeling of joy, and then he felt bad about having joy when he heard about all these others who were experiencing loss. Another friend of mine on Facebook heard of a high school classmate from Wisconsin who had been shot and killed. From Washington State who had been shot and killed. We also have come to find out that a graduate of 2016 from CSU was amongst those who was killed. Some of you have also told me of your own connections to that day. Two different people have shared that they know somebody connected to that, and my guess is there's more. The pain that we have experienced is immense, and it's compounded by the fact that those that were gathered for this concert in Las Vegas being what it was, were not locals from one area, but they were connected all over the world, all over the country for sure. You know, we'd mourn this tragedy together regardless because of how horrible it is. But because people are not from one area, we are all so much likelier connected to somebody, know a community that is in mourning. The web runs deep. And there were police officers, school teachers, truck drivers, waitresses, students, attorneys, all struck down. I want to take you to that painful place again because as we wrestle with our world and our faith, and our God, indeed, it seems wise to talk about our pain and not to ignore that, not to say that doesn't matter, not to say that's unholy, because it was an unholy act, but your pain and the pain of all of those who are hurting is not unholy. In fact, God says, come to me. So let's talk about that a little bit more. I want to turn towards our scripture for a moment. Walk through the vineyard in this story. This beautiful vineyard. This terrible vineyard. Imagine yourself there. Do you understand the meaning by that? Beautiful and terrible, all in one. The parable paints a picture of a terrible moment. It would grip anyone long ago as we are gripped by Las Vegas. Why would the Bible even share such a story? Sometimes I've thought. You know, why would Matthew, the writer of this gospel, pick this story to share? Sometimes I've truly felt that way. There is anger because of the outrageous, selfish acts, sadness at seeing both the innocent killed and the innocents lost, and a welling surge of emotions all over the board. No doubt, anybody who hears it, if they enter into the story like that, that's what they feel. And they may desire to right the wrong. Yeah, it usually seems such an absurd parable. But this week as I read it, I understood. I understood because I was looking at a vineyard and I was in that same place. Jesus knew what he was doing. Matthew knew what he was doing, sharing this story. Senseless tragedies have occurred and will occur in our world. No doubt Jesus knew that we would hear this parable and hear this story as our own. He said, some might hear it and wonder how they are a part of the story. Am I a part of the problem? Can I be a part of the solution? How can we stop this from happening? And the parable allows all of those questions, but it also allows us to hear the pain And sit and wonder for a moment. Just wonder. Wonder about God and the world and our relationship in it. As the parable ends, we're left with a terrible tragedy. It's occurred. It doesn't matter at that moment who's at fault. We are left in this awful place. But the listener has the opportunity in this parable for something more. See, we are invited into being part of the solution. It no longer matters who you were in the story. Walking through the vineyard, we can see the beauty that it is in its creation, and we are offered an opportunity to begin again. We can see the gift that is this world, and we are called to love it. These tears, they hurt. And I, as sort of a ritual on Friday, decided to read the stories of each of those people, each of the victims. I felt like I could submit myself to that pain. In a weird way, it felt like it was something that I could do to honor those who had died. And so I submitted myself to something that caused me a lot of pain. I think I cried on every single story that I heard. I was sobbing like a baby. But I realized that ultimately, what I was sobbing about was tears of love. Oh, sure, I was asking why, but I was connecting to total strangers with tears of love. Tears of love for those who died, tears of love for those who had lost somebody, tears of love for those whose world has changed because they saw such horrific things. On last Sunday evening, a person drowning in darkness took out their pain on our world. And we are first reminded of the greatest unifier other than the next one I'm going to talk about, and that is death. The great unifier that is death had gripped us all. Death reminded itself that it hits everybody, no matter who you are. United a quite diverse crowd in the most terrible way. A terrible word, but a very real word, and it seems more real. But this is where I point. Soon after, we saw another unifier, one that was always there, one that was there before, and one that didn't leave, that remained there, and that is love. And even as heartbeats stopped, love did not. Think about that for a moment. It's something that grips each and every one of us as a very universal truth. You know it aside from this story because all of you know somebody that you've loved and lost. It doesn't mean love has gone. So even as the heartbeat stopped, love did not. And for a moment, the darkness seemed to be the victor, but I, for one, hold on to the love that did not waver. It is that unifier that I see when I share my love for Jesus. And I point you to the cross for a moment and remind you of the parallel. That image right there was not an image of love when it was seen in the first century. That was an image of darkness, of despair, of death. And when you look at it today, that is not where you go first. Because we know who gets the final say. For in Christ, the Son returns again and again to the vineyard. No matter how horrific the vineyard gets, God has said, I love this world. I love these people. And I will go again and again. And this broken world, I don't know about you, but some days it doesn't seem worth it. But God's love has never wavered. And through Christ, the final sting never, ever will be death. Well, the final sting is, but the final word is love. Love always wins. And I want to be a part of that. And I want you to be a part of that. And I want our church to be a part of that. And that will be my story. That will be our story. When I'm crying, I will search for the love. When I'm hurting, mourning, crying out, I will look to the love. And when others have lost hope, I hope that I can point to the stone that the builders rejected that has become the cornerstone of our lives. And I hope that I can have somebody that can lift that up to me in those places where I am in despair and in darkness and need a word of hope. One that looks on our world with mercy, with forgiveness, with love. Amen. We join together in our sacred space and all the ways that we can respond to God's word.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. My God is with me. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. But until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear?
Troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Let's see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Oh no, you never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Restore what is broken in your church, loving God. Heal divisions among Christian communities. Give courage to leaders facing hardship and open our ears to the prophet's cries among us. Help us to walk together through your world with love. We lift up the prayers of our hearts and the prayers of our voices.
I pray that our country works together to end this epidemic of gun violence. I pray for all of those who have died or been wounded.
We pray for creation, gracious God. Revive farmlands and vineyards, protect waters needed by all living things, and move us to care for this earthly home.
Prayers of healing for Patty, who was diagnosed with cancer.
We pray for all who are recovering from hurricanes and earthquakes. Be with them as they rebuild. Be with those who are there to support them. Bring them your guidance and protection.
Thank you for lightening our load.
We pray for those going on the Habitat mission trip to Vietnam in this coming week. Bless their work together and their encounters in new places.
Loving God, guide our son as he makes difficult decisions.
We remember the saints whose devotion proclaimed your saving help. In company with them, root us firmly in your everlasting love. We pray for all of those who have lost loved ones in the Las Vegas shooting.
God bless the ministry to one another that supports our church family, as well as our individual families. Support and care for the caregivers.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children.
Continue with our offering.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Save. He is mighty to save forever.
world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.